Hello again, pilgrims. It's Pastor Bob, and this is The Way of a Pilgrim, the Jesus Prayer Journey. And this is episode 21, and we left our pilgrim in a deep discussion with the master of the house. Remember, he's been taken in by a mother and two kids, and he finally meets the master of the house, and the master takes him into his study, which, by the way, contains 5,000 rubles worth of books. Yes, he says, I do like to read. And the pilgrim starts going over the Lord's Prayer with him, looking at the words both in a quote-unquote Christian way, but then also in a spiritual way, and the difference that makes, remember? And he tells the master that he lives in the world to attain to interior prayer. And they discuss how difficult that would be. And he tells him about a book he has that can help him achieve that. And he says, please, sir, if you like, I'll read to you from this book, the Philokalia. And that's where we pick it up today. I went to get my Philokalia, found the article by St. Peter of Damascus in section 3, and read the following passage. More important than attending to breathing, one must learn to call upon the name of God at all times, in all places, and during all manner of activity. The apostle says, pray without ceasing. That is, he teaches constant remembrance of God at all times, in all places, under any circumstances. If you are busy doing something, you must remember the Creator of all things. If you see light, remember Him who gave it to you. If you look at the sky, the earth, the waters, and all that is in them, marvel and glorify the Creator of all. If you are putting your clothes on, remember Him whose gift they are, and thank Him who provides everything in your life. In short, let every action be an occasion for you always to remember and praise God. And before you know it, you are praying unceasingly. And your soul will always rejoice in this. Do you see now how this method for achieving unceasing prayer is convenient, easy, and accessible to any person who has at least some measure of human feelings? They were all very impressed by this. The master embraced me with delight and thanked me. Then he looked through my Philokalia and said, I will order this from Petersburg as soon as I can. But for now, let me copy this passage so I won't forget it. And please, read it to me again. He wrote it down quickly and neatly, and then he exclaimed, my God, why, I even have an icon of the Holy Damascene. He picked up a picture frame, inserted the handwritten sheet behind the glass, and hung it beneath the icon. There, he said, the living word of God's saint hanging right under his image. It will serve to remind me always to put his redemptive advice into practice. After this, we sat down to dinner, and the same people as before sat with us, men and women. What reverent silence and peace there was at that table. After the meal, we all, adults and children, spent a long time in prayer. I was asked to chant the Akathist to the Most Sweet Jesus. After prayers, the servants went to bed, while the three of us remained in the room. The mistress brought me a white shirt and stockings. I made a prostration before her and said, "Dear Mother, I will not take these stockings, for I have never worn such things in all my life. Peasants like me are used to wrapping our feet in strips of coarse linen." She hurried out of the room and brought back an old robe of hers, made of thin yellow fabric, and ripped it in half to make two strips. "Look," said the master, "the poor man's footwear is falling apart." He brought a pair of his own overshoes that were new and in a large size, the kind that are worn over boots. "Go in that empty room and change your clothes," he said. I did so, and when I returned, they made me sit down and began to change my shoes. The husband wrapped the strips of cloth around my feet, while his wife pulled overshoes on top of them. At first, I protested, but they insisted, saying, "Sit, be quiet. Christ washed the feet of his apostles." I could do nothing but burst into tears. They wept with me. Afterward, the mistress retired for the night with the children, while the master and I went to the summer house in the garden. For a long time, we did not feel sleepy, so we lay awake and talked. After our conversation, the master and I slept for an hour or so, until we heard the bell for matins. We got up and went to church. Just as we walked inside, we saw the mistress, who had been there for some time already, with the children. We stood through matins, and then the divine liturgy, which followed soon after. The master and I stood with the little boy in the altar, while his wife and daughter stood near the altar door so they could observe the elevation of the gifts. My, how they prayed as they knelt, with tears of joy streaming down their faces. They all looked so radiant that just watching them brought forth the fullness of my own tears. After the liturgy, the nobles, the priest, the servants, and all the beggars went to the dining room of my host's house to eat. There were some 40 beggars, and everyone, the crippled, the infirm, children, were all seated at one table. How tranquil it was. Summoning my boldness, I quietly said to the master, "In monasteries, they read from the lives of the saints during meals. Since you have the complete Menaeon, you could do the same." He turned to his wife and said, "Actually, Masha, why don't we start doing that regularly? It would be most edifying. I will read first at this meal. Then you can read at the next. And then the father can read. And after that, whoever else knows how to read can take turns." The priest, who was still eating, said, "I love to listen. But as for reading, well, with all due respect, I do not have the time for it. The minute I get home, I have so much to do, so many duties and concerns to attend to, I hardly know where to begin. First one thing needs to be done, then another, then there are all the children, the cows need to be let out. My days are so completely filled that I'm not up to reading or study. I've long since forgotten even what I learned at seminary." When I heard this, I shuddered. But the mistress, who was sitting next to me, grasped my hand and said, "Father speaks this way from humility. He always humbles himself. But he is the most righteous and kindest of men. He has been a widower for over 20 years now and has been raising a whole family of grandchildren, as well as serving frequent services in church. Her words reminded me of the following saying of Nikitas Stathatos in the Philokalia, who said, "The nature of things is measured by the interior disposition of the soul. That is, the kind of person one is will determine what he thinks of others." He goes on to say, "He who has attained a genuine prayer and love no longer puts things into categories. He does not separate the righteous from the sinners, but loves all equally and does not judge them. Just as God gives the sun to shine and the rain to fall, both on the just and the unjust." Amen.